here at the last Sunday of Advent, and so those Advent hymns, we won't sing them again for a year after today. That first one, we just really apologize about the gradual hymn. We really apologize about that. We chose it. It's an Advent hymn. We don't get to use it much, but we just couldn't do it. We just couldn't pull it off musically, and you know, if we couldn't, we know nobody else could. So we put in one that we knew we could do, which is an Advent hymn. So we're sorry about that, but we still pulled it off. So there you are. Very good. I also want to share with you this. We got this in the mail this week from Goochland Cares. Dear Reverend Mayor, this is really to all of you. It's not just to me. It's to all of you. As families gathered for the holidays, you donated 41 pounds of provided food for the needy, which 1,500 Goochland residents in need this past month received food from 41 pounds. Incredible. It's amazing what they do at that food pantry. So I want you to know that's what happens. That's what happens every month when you donate here, put it in the box up there by the door, and we take it over there. So thank you for that. Thank you for thinking of the poor, thinking of the hungry, and the generosity that you have, and all the other ways that you do that too. So I want to mention one other thing too before I look at the scriptures with you, and that is that the Aspire Dance Academy dancers are here this morning, and their dance is going to be To Joy to the World, which will be the next to last thing we do. The last thing is we all sing Joy to the World. So what's going to happen? That's why the chairs are back a little bit, so they actually have room to dance. And before they come in, after communion is distributed, then we'll move the altar right over here so that they can do that. And that should be quite a time. That's why we're calling this Joy to the World Sunday. By the way, did you know that Joy to the World is really not a Christmas song? In all the lyrics, there's not one mention of the birth of Jesus. Not at all, but about his coming and his second coming and all that. That's what it's about, which is all Advent themes. But since we all think of it as a Christmas song, we save it till the very last song we sing in Advent, so it's kind of a springboard into Christmas. So, yeah, you can impress your friends with that knowledge if you need to. Now, in all of the jolliness of the season, you're probably thinking about all that you have to do, and one of them is Christmas presents. One of the things we do at our house is we put our lists up on the refrigerator, and I get very excited about that. I have mine done really early in the year, and I put it up there thinking this is going to be great. And then the girls are like, okay, I'll put mine up. So she puts hers up. And we just have a lot of fun anticipating all that. And then there's other things that go on, too. As you know, we are helping a family in Goochland. There's a Janice has organized that, and all the presents are there to go today. We're taking that. That'll help that family who's in need help fill their Christmas list. So that's a wonderful thing. And all of that goes on. It makes Christmas fulfilling. It makes the season very significant. And there's one, as one of my seminary professors used to say, there's one banana peel on the cliff here. You got that, didn't you? Yeah. And it's this. We can begin looking at God as the one that we go to if we want something, like our Christmas list, the one we can go to if we need something, and then let it go with that. Now, I mean, if you want something, please ask God. If you need something, please ask God. But what I'm asking you to do this morning is not let it go with that. Because if all we do is to go to God and say, this is what I want or this is what I need, we've lost the majority, the vast, great majority of what it is to live the Christian faith. There's a practice of the Christian faith which is beyond asking God for what we need. I mean, it's the system which does that is called deism. You know, God is out there, and we go to him if we need something. Maybe we'll get it, maybe we won't, but it's up to God and all this. And God doesn't do much else with us. That's really not what we practice when we practice the Christian faith. The practice of the Christian faith, for most of it, I mean, the great majority of the practice of the Christian faith is our connecting with God, our communion with God. It is God being around us, God with us. In fact, that's what we see today twice in the two readings that we had. In Isaiah, it says, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And then later, Matthew quotes this very same scripture. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. They shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. So there's something that happens 700 years prior to the birth of Jesus in the time of Isaiah. And then the very same thing, the very same prophecy is fulfilled with the birth of Jesus. And there are a couple of things that we can draw out of this. How significant it is for us. In fact, it is significant not only just for understanding that the Bible is a really great book and you can learn things about God about it, but for the way we live our daily lives. Every single day, there is something that comes out of these two things that are the foundation of the way we live. And that's why Joseph was given that dream. Because of its significance. I mean, I don't know about you, but you know, if the person you were going to marry comes up to you and you know that you were not the father, you know, and it could be the other way around, you're not the mother, you know this, and here there's a pregnancy, and they said to you, well, it was the Holy Spirit. Well, what are you going to say? How are you going to deal with that? Most people would show him the door, at best. That's what would happen. But Joseph didn't want to do that. He didn't want Mary to experience that. Mary would have been really into a life of extreme poverty had Joseph put her out. He didn't want to do that at all. But he gets this dream. And that sets the course of the birth, where the birth of Jesus will happen, how it's going to go, what his name is going to be. And in the middle of that dream comes this verse from Isaiah. The virgin will conceive and bear a child, and you call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Now, all throughout the Old Testament, there are significant birth stories. You know, people were born, and there was a time of God breaking in. And something of the revelation of who God is was carried in those births. And each time that happened. In the Old Testament, God just broke in every so often and then kind of retreated, and you didn't know God was around until there was some, you know, bam, big specific thing going on. And you would see a different thing out of each of those birth stories until you get to the time of Jesus. And what is absolutely different and significant and foundational about all that is that at that birth story, that is the time when God is with us always. That is the moment that changes forever. There is never a time since that where God has not been always with us. And that's right now. God is with us right now. He's with us when we messed up. The gradual hymn. He's with us when you were not holly and jolly over the past couple of days. Because of whatever was going on. Doesn't matter what it is. He is always with you. God is always with you. All the time. Now, there are things that we can do in our lives, choices that we can make, and where we miss that. And one of them that we see that in the reading of from Isaiah about Ahaz. God says to Ahaz, ask the Lord for a sign of confirmation. Make it as difficult as you want. As high as heaven or as deep as the place of the dead. Hey, I'm God. I can do it. Just ask me. And Ahaz says, no, I'm not going to put the Lord to the test like that. Oh, no, not me. You don't have to worry about me. Not a problem. You know, I'm okay. I'm good. I'm good. I can make it. I'm fine. I'm well set up. I don't need you to do anything. To which God says, I mean, you would think God says, oh, okay, I'm glad you're fine. You would think God would say that. What does God say? Listen well, you royal family of David. Isn't it enough to exhaust human patience? Must you exhaust the patience of my God as well? Didn't you love the way Bobby read that a few minutes ago? Hit the nail right on the head. It's like God is saying, Ahaz, what is wrong with you? But what's wrong with him is that he was depending on himself and didn't want to have anything to do with God. You say, no, you know, don't worry about me. God, don't worry about me. I'm not a problem. That exhausts the patience of God. It says so right here in the Bible. So what does God do? He says, this is what I'm going to tell. This is what I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you that I am God. I'm going to show you that I'm going to be God. There's going to be a young woman in your family. He's going to have a baby. And when that baby is able to figure out what's the difference between right and wrong, your enemies will be defeated. That's the sign to you. 700 years later, that exact same prophecy is applied to Jesus, in which God is saying, there will be a young virgin who will conceive and bear a child, and you will call him Emmanuel, because God, that means God is with us. And those enemies of yours, every enemy that comes against you, everything that is planned against you, everything that wants to stop you from knowing me will be defeated by that child. Now, another thing that's very significant about that is that not only will the enemies be defeated, but it is the promise of God at the beginning, at the birth of Jesus, and at the end, just before the ascension of Jesus. The promise is in his name, God is with us. And then the very words of Jesus before he ascends to heaven, I will never leave you or forsake you. It surrounds absolutely everything. And what that is for us is God inviting us into the relationship with him, into his presence, into being aware of his presence all the time. In James, it says, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Well, there's a reason that that's absolutely true. And that's because God is always drawing near to you, and anytime you draw near to God, you'll find God drawing near to you. Anytime you turn to God, you will find God turning near to you, because God's been turning near to you no matter what you do. Imagine anything in your life that you want to imagine right now. Like the worst thing that's happened to you, or the best thing that's happened to you, or just some ordinary thing that's happened to you, and God was right there. If you carry some pain around this morning and you don't know what to do with it, and maybe it's from years and years ago, if you ask Jesus to show you that scene once again, and then you ask him, where are you? He will show you where he was when that happened. Because he will never leave you. And he will never forsake you. He will never leave you in the middle of that pain. He will never leave you in the place where you just have to deal. That might be something you want to try this Christmas week. There's some pain. Just ask him where he was when that was happening. And then ask him, what do you want to say to me now? And you will hear something along these lines. You are my child, whom I love. I will never leave you or forsake you. And there may be something else coming along too that's specific to you. See, what's easy for us to do, I mean, I do it, is to settle for what's safe. You know, be thinking, well, okay, this is coming up, so for me to be all right when this is coming up, I do this so that I'm safe, so nothing goes wrong, so I don't trip. And then I say, well, okay, if I do this, then I got to be ready for this so that I'll keep safe, so that nothing goes wrong, that things don't get messed up. And when I do that, then I'm living a life where I've settled for being safe. And when I've settled for being safe, the next thing I do in my relationship with God is say, God, I'm good. I'm good. I don't need you to provide anything. I'm all right. No need to worry over here. There's other people. Other people need you more than I do. Go ahead. That's what I would call the spirit of Ahaz. When the Lord might say, are you gonna try my patience too? When what God is saying to us is, I am with you always, every moment of every day, into eternity. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And where I am taking you is to the place that I have called you to, the place that I have created you for, the place where the fruit of my kingdom will flow through you in the ways that are meant for you. And when you stand with me, you are in the place where my life flows through you. That's the practice of the Christian faith. The life of Jesus flowing through us. Because we've looked for him. We've turned to him, and we've seen he has been turning to us all along. That he emptied himself completely to be with us, no matter what. Well, I want to encourage you to do something this week. I know it's a busy week. I mean, there's stuff you got to buy before it gets to be Wednesday morning. Pick something Tuesday night where they're not compromising your debit card. You know, you'll do better. There's extra church. You know, there's that. But it only takes a moment. Where you start saying to God, I know you're right here. I want to see you. I want to hear you. I want to experience you and see how it goes. See what God does. See how the eyes of your heart start opening. of all the prayers that you could pray, the one that God wants to answer over and over and over again is that we would know that he's with us. It's his name, Emmanuel. God is with us. It's what Christmas is about. God came to be with us. You don't have to disqualify yourself because you got angry about something. You don't have to disqualify yourself because you forgot to pray, or you forgot what that Bible verse was, or you did the wrong thing, or you made a big mistake, or you made a little mistake, or whatever it is. You don't ever have to not ask God to draw you closer. It's very simple. I don't have any other steps. Just whenever you think of it, say, God, how about it? I mean, if you have an objection to seeing God, hearing God's voice, whatever it is, just say, how about it? God wants you to know that he's with you all the time. Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we thank you and we bless you that you have come after us, for us, and to be with us. We ask that even this morning, we would know more of you than we have ever known. That you would reveal more of yourself to us than we have ever seen. That we would know you are closer than we have ever known before. And that the mark of our lives would be that we are with you and you are with us into eternity. We ask it for the glory of your name. Amen. God, the Father, the Almighty.